Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is a production of Turning Leaf Radio Network, Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Hello, everyone. My name is Valencia Scott, and I am part of Turning Leaf Ministries. And the title of my show is called The Ties That Bind. I'll be talking about drugs, alcohol, molestation, and so on and so on. And I have the woman of God. She's been on here a few times. She's not feeling very well, but she wants to bring forth the word. Her name is Minister Stiers. And we might not do 30 minutes today. We might do probably 15 minutes because she's not feeling very well, but she's been wanting to bring this word forth for 2 weeks, so I want her to really get this word out. So we're going to start off with a little prayer, then I'm going to introduce the woman of God, and we'll be started. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you as humble as we know how. Father God, we repent of anything we've done today that's not like you in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that you touch this woman of God from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Father God. Remove anything that's not like you in the name of Jesus, Father God. Heal her body, Father God. You know what she's going through, Father God. Make her better. In your son Jesus' name, continue to have your way. Woman of God, it's in your hands.
Okay. Hello, everybody. First, I want to say God is good all the time, and I hope everyone listening is doing well. And if you're not doing well, Proverbs 16, chapter 24, verse says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. So let's be blessed today and hear these encouraging words from God's word. What I will be discussing today is the possibilities part two. So this is finishing up what I started a few weeks ago. Start by reading some verses from Matthew chapter 8. Those verses will be Matthew chapter 8, 5th through the 13th verse. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority. One goes, and he goes, and to another come, and he comes, and to my servant do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, but surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Notice how Jesus marveled at such great faith. Jesus loves faith. He loves to be believed and trusted. Notice that the servant said, only speak a word, and his servant will be healed. The centurion had such great faith in Jesus that he did not need to be in person at the house to perform the miracle. Just like today, Jesus does not need to be in special visit to perform a miracle. And some people will not believe for miracles or blessings to happen in their life unless they get a special confirmation from someone or some personal encounter. They believe what the Bible says, but don't seem to know how to apply it in their personal life. Or they don't want to go beyond what they can see, taste, smell, and feel. To some people, the Bible is real and it has been lived. But you need to be at a place that is a living word for now in your life. It needs to be living to you and believing it at the same time. God does not lie or waste his breath when he speaks. Notice Jesus says, as you have believed. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to believe for you. And it takes no faith on your part. And there are other examples of this too in the New Testament. So what happens in our lives is going to result from what we believe God is able to accomplish. I have personally lived my whole life like this for the most part, even when I was a teenager. I always have had these ideas of how I wanted my life to be, teenager, which most of us probably have. But for the most part, so far, it's turned out as I have believed. God puts promises and dreams in my heart, and some have happened quicker and others took longer. For instance, I didn't know that I was going to be living in the Southeast Coast, but for a long time, I had an interest in the East Coast. For many years, I had this desire. Like I said before, I had the desire for the East Coast, but I wasn't for sure if it would be the Northeast or the Southeast, if I would have done things a little bit different, to God a little better, a lot better than what I did, understood his word better, I would have been out here sooner. But that's okay. God did a course correction and got me out here anyway. So it's wonderful to know, even when we don't realize that we are messing up, sometimes due to a lack of knowledge and not knowing God's ways better, that he can do a course correction in our life. What a compassionate and merciful God we serve. Even though I could have done things differently, I still had to believe that God was completely able to bring his will to pass in my life. I am still believing that whatever else God wants me to accomplish, that he will do it and that it will be accomplished. Not maybe it's going to happen, but it will happen. It pleases God so much to see someone believe in him, no matter what they see or hear, that the circumstances does not stop them. They keep persevering despite of the obstacles. There are three points I'm going to continue to discuss about possibilities. And this is starting with key point number 6, leaving off from the last time. Pursue your dreams. Do not settle for less. Never give up on what you want out of life. God has a purpose for you, and he definitely does not want you giving up on it. God can give you a photograph, picture in your heart, in your mind, what you can have out of this life, what you can become. I'm not just talking about dreams you have at night, but daytime dreams while you are awake. It's a vision. A vision is simply the act of anticipating what might or will happen in your life. Sometimes we daydream because we daydream. Sometimes God places pictures in your mind because he's trying to give you a glimpse into what he desires for your life to be like. He can show pictures of you working at a higher position, show you doing things that you never thought you could do. Is this his way of communicating with you what his thoughts are about you? It's not always someone else that can kill your dreams, but you can be your own worst enemy in this. Imagining always the worst, always imagining yourself defeated, always complaining that things are happening to other people and not me, are dream killers. God has so many blessings in store for each person that it is no need for us to be jealous or envy of anyone else. If you are truly trusting and believing God for the promises he gave you, no one is going to steal away what God has planned for you. No one can steal away the job, business, ministry, or any other blessings that God has told you through his word, in your heart, confirmation through someone else, what he is going to do. The only one that can stop God from blessing you is you. Mm-hmm. We should be pursuing what God has placed in our heart Proverbs 29, chapter 18, verse says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So God says that it is important to have a healthy vision about your life, to have goals set on what you want to accomplish in this life. Talk to others that you know will be receptive to what you want to do in life. It is good to tell people about what you're expecting God to do in your life so that they can encourage you and inspire you, especially when you have obstacles come in your path. Obstacles will happen while you're trying to pursue what God wants you to do in this life. If you are truly pursuing what God wants you to do, Satan will try to tempt you to stop and give up. Please do not think that it is impossible for you to have obstacles. Satan might even try to convince you that you don't know what you are talking about and that you have not been hearing from God from the start. People might try to tell you that's for someone else, not for you. That's for rich people only. Or how do you expect to get there from the place you are at currently? Well, God always has a way. And he will reveal in time what that way is. Some of the things that I have believed for in my life, I did not have any outward evidence that these things were going to happen. The only thing I had was God's word and what he promised me in my heart. Some of these things went on for years, but I did not give up. I was determined to have what I was believing for. Pursue your God-given dreams and do not settle for less. When you are finished with this life, you want to be able to say with assurance, I have finished what God wanted me to accomplish, to what you want to see. Isaiah 55, chapter 11, verse says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word will not turn back empty to him. When God places something in your heart, he wants you to take those promises and speak out and prophesy that it will come to pass. He did not put those promises in your heart to just only think about it, but to speak it. Ephesians 3, chapter 20, verse says, not for him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Notice he says that the power that works in us is God's power, but we need to do our part and speak to the problem and speak God's blessing, God's will over our life. The key to this is God's will. It needs to be God's plan, not our own. We cannot manipulate God. You can't say, I want to work at, for example, Donald Corporation because I want a corporate job and it's downtown, and you're not even sure if it's God's will for you to be working there. And then you take that and start speaking that out and then get mad if you don't end up working there. Or what you are believing for could be right. That God wants you to have a corporate position. But maybe that's not the corporation God wanted you at. No matter how nice it is or good it sounds, everything that sounds good doesn't mean it came from God. Something can be a good plan, but not God's plan. There are various reasons why he wants you in certain places. It could be you're meant to affect a certain person's life at a job. Maybe the job you were believing for could have sounded good on the surface, but God foresaw you having major problems with the employer or other coworkers, not a fault of your own, that was going to cause for that job not to work out soon. He might have a higher-paying job in mind that might not have been revealed to you yet. everything that looks good is not necessarily good for you personally. It might be good for someone else, but not for you. Different reasons, but we just have to trust that God knows what he is doing regardless if he reveals the reason to us or not. Now, if God did tell you, for example, that you were supposed to be working at Donald Corporation, believe him. Give it time, and it will happen. We should be delighting ourselves in the Lord. Then we will have less mistakes in going out to the same things. Then it's not even God's will. God's word will accomplish what he desired for it to accomplish. This truth doesn't just have to apply for a job. This can apply to anything that God has promised you personally in your life. Your words are very powerful. I'm not talking about telling a joke or playing around with your friends. Nothing wrong with having a sense of humor. I'm talking about words that you speak that you are truly believing. And it's what you believe, and you're just going to speak it out. Too often people say the negative instead of the positive things in their life or the positive things they want to see. It seems that people can easily complain all day about what's wrong to someone or even complain to God, but don't want to say the positive things that God has done or doing or tell God or others of what they're expecting, anticipating for God to do. Psalm 78, chapter 41st to the 42nd verse says, yes, and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. You can limit what God wants to do in your life. God has the power. But if you can't get beyond what you can see, then you limit the possibilities in your life. God says that there are so many things I can do with you and through you, but you can't even trust me where you're at. You are limiting God with your unbelief. Not remembering, being thankful for the things that God has done for you in the past can be a hindrance for you trusting God with your whole heart. You must be able to trust him. You must be able to trust him somewhat, but not like you should. If you have a hard time imagining God doing the possible in your life, if you find yourself struggling to believe because of what you've been through and what you are seeing, then it's a good idea to just imagine all the things he has done for you in the past, all the things he is doing now for you. It might not be the big things that you are wanting for him to accomplish. Always be thanking him for the smaller things that is going on in your life right now. As you are thanking God for the smaller things, you don't know the day, the time, the hour when the bigger things are going to happen in your life. Also, when I say speak, I don't mean every day you say, I believe God's going to do this, and you confess it 10 times during the day like a routine. And since you are doing this so many times, you will earn your answer from God. No, you can't earn your blessing or miracle from God. This isn't about you doing everything perfect and then you receive from God. You're only speaking out in faith what you know God is already going to do. When I have been waiting for something in the past for a while, I have started to get weary, I would just start to speak out the promises of God in his word and what he spoke in my heart. It made me feel better, and it made faith rise up in me to keep persevering regardless of what I was seeing or experiencing. Number 8, patience. A word a lot of us don't like to really hear. Romans 8, chapter 21st verse, the Amplified Version says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait eagerly for it with patience and composure. I like when they say composure. With composure, we just keep our coolness and calmness. Sometimes when people are waiting for something, they don't have the best attitude while waiting. It's not only important for you to have faith, it is just as important for you to have the right attitude while you wait. God is watching your attitude of waiting on the promises to manifest in your life. If you are saying that you are believing God for something, then you are being bitter about everything. Then you are harboring feelings that God wants you to get rid of. Proverbs 14, chapter 10, verse says, the heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share in joy. And we also shouldn't be walking around with an attitude asking God every day, when am I going to have it? It's not going to make anything happen sooner with an attitude. It's best for us to always keep calm while we are waiting, to have a good attitude towards God and others while we are waiting. What I am about to say next is not every situation, but for some Christians it does apply. Everybody that is Christian is not in the will of God in their career. Now, I'm not talking about someone doing something some evil job. I'm talking about someone who has a good job and is making a nice amount of money. A person that has a great job, that all their bills are paid, they have extra spending money and money to save. This can be a corporation, a factory, a trade, just a nice career. For example, let's say you have someone working at a corporation making $70,000 a year. They're Christian already, but they begin to seek God out more, attend church more, and they ask God a question. That question is, God, am I in the career you want me to be in? They wait on God. They don't get an answer immediately. Let's say a week later they get an answer for God, and he says, no, you are not. The person says, okay, and asks, what should I do to get to the place that you want me at? God says, well, shortly I'm going to lead you to get rid of this job you are at because you are working too many hours, and I want to train you to do this. I am shifting you into my will I have for your life, and you will be led to another job doing basically the same thing, less hours, but also less pay. Instead of making $70,000, you will be making $40,000 a year for a while. The person says, how long is a while? Let's just say this person is a guy in this situation. But God can say this to a lady too. The guy says to God, but if I don't make $70,000 a year, then me and my wife will not be able to take our two trips to Hawaii and Mexico every year. She won't be able to go shopping online for her two new pair of shoes every week. We eat at the steakhouse once a week and at a seafood restaurant every week. We will not be able to do these things anymore. We will only be able to go out and eat at these nice places once a month after bills. The guy says, I don't know if I like this. This must not be God. He wouldn't ask me to give up my very nice lifestyle temporary to get me in his will for my life. He asks God, how long is a while? 6 months? A year? God just says, a while. I just need you to trust me. The guy just shakes his head. No, this is asking too much than God. Notice that God doesn't give a time frame. He also didn't say that this will be permanent either. God might approach him again about this. But eventually God just says, okay, you're not willing. I'm not going to violate your free will. Some of us don't want to make temporary sacrifices for following God. In actual reality, what it is that we don't want to be inconvenienced. Some people would rather stay where they are at, out of God's will, as long as they have all the stuff that they want and everything is comfortable. They are not willing to step out of their comfort zones to seek out God's will for their life. They are not willing to wait and be patient with God to see how he will work everything out in their life. Honestly, being out of our comfort zone is not fun all the time. But sometimes for God to get you at a certain place in your life, to get you into his perfect will, you might have to be out of your comfort zone for a while. Some things might not be easy as accessible for a while. It might not necessarily be changing a job. And it could be something else God may switch around temporarily. And a lot of times God does not tell you how long this might be. Notice in the example I just used, God said the job he was at was too many hours. So evidently in this case, God was seeing that the too many hours would affect God teaching and training him in the next step in his life. He had to let that job go in order for God to do what he needed to do in his life. This is why some Christians never see God's destiny happen in their life, because they are not willing to even sacrifice anything temporarily. They will come up with every excuse to not change anything or to trust God. Also, I know I use careers as an example, But it's being patient in anything you are waiting for. It is patience over a prolonged period of time. It's easy to believe when we see something we won't happen in a week, month, 2 months, but it can become harder to continue to believe, to keep holding on when we have to wait 6 months, a year, or even longer to see the promises happen in our lives. But always remember, when God tells you something, you trust in him and believe him with your heart and confess it with your mouth, because what's in the heart will come out of your mouth. God will, that God loves us so much, and he wants to do good things in our lives. It does take cooperation on our part for this to happen. God's arms are always open for us to talk to him. God just says, all things are possible, but just trust in me, that no matter how long it takes, I will fulfill all those promises in your life. There is a timing to some things, and my timing is always right, God says. That's it. Valencia.
Amen. I want to thank this woman of God for bringing forth the word. As y'all can see, this, she's not feeling very well, but she still brought the word, and God is going to bless her. I had did a sermon, it's not about you. And what she's really talking about, it's not even about what you're feeling, the things that we think and stuff. The purpose is so much bigger. The things, and we just be obedient to what God say and be obedient to his word. A lot of things will play out for us. And I'm going to post this link on my Facebook. This is another powerful word. Every word she brings is powerful, and like I said, as she's going through at this present time, God is really going to bless her, because she still did the word, even though she's not feeling 100%, and that's what God wants us to do. So I want to thank you, woman of God. Can you give out your email address and your all your posts and your radio station before we dismiss?
Okay. My email address is bedella7@gmail.com. That's B as in boy, I, D as in dog, D as in dog, E-L-L-A, 7@gmail.com. My website is Stiers, that's STIERS.wix.com/teaching. And that's it, Valencia.
Okay, and I want to thank everyone that's tuned in to listen in. Please leave comments, any questions you have for the woman of God, and we're going to dismiss. Thank you again, Minister Stiers. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you as humble as we know how. Father God, pour back in everything that the woman of God poured out, Father God. Touch her from the crown of her head, Father God. Give her peace, Father God. Let her get some rest today if she ever got any rest, Father God. Give the woman of God everything a heart desire, Father God, because even though she's going through, Father God, she's still got on here and did what you had her to do, Father God. She still got in the word, Father God. Father God, I just want to thank you and continue to have your way in our lives. In your son Jesus' name, amen. You can hang up, Minister Stiers. Thank you. God bless
everyone. God bless everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.